Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 1, Observing the Armies on the Battlefield of Kurukshetra, Text Number 19. Shagosha Dhritarashtranam Hridayani Vyadaryat Navascha Prativim Chaiva Tumlabhya Nunadayan. Sa, that, gosha, vibration, dhritarashtranam, of the sons of Dhritarashtra, hridayani, hearts, vyadarayat, shattered, nava, the sky, cha, also, prithivim, the surface of the earth, cha, also, eva, certainly, tumula, uproarious, avyanudayan, resounding. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The blowing of these different conch shells became uproarious, vibrating both in the sky and on the earth. It shattered the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra. Purport. When Bhishma and the others on the side of Duryodhana blew their respective conch shells, there was no heartbreaking on the part of the Pandavas. Such occurrences are not mentioned. But in this particular verse, it is mentioned that the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra were shattered by the sounds vibrated by the Pandavas' party. This is due to the Pandavas and their confidence in Lord Krishna. When they take shelter of the Supreme Lord, has nothing to fear, even in the midst of the greatest calamity. We'll read a couple more verses here. Atta vyavastitandrishva dhritarashtranka pidvaja pravrite shastra sampade tanora udyamya pandava rishikesham tatavakyam idam aha mahipate. Translation. At that time, Arjuna, the son of Pandu, seated on the chariot bearing the flag marked with Hanuman, took up his bow and prepared to shoot his arrows. O king, after looking at the son of Dhritarashtra, drawn in military array, Arjuna then spoke to Lord Krishna these words. Purport, the battle was just about to begin. It is understood from the above statement that the son of Dhritarashtra were more or less disheartened by the unexpected arrangement of military force by the Pandavas, who were guided by the direct instructions of Lord Krishna on the battlefield. The emblem of Hanuman on the flag of Arjuna is another sign of victory, because Hanuman cooperated with Lord Rama in the battle between Rama and Ravana, and Lord Rama emerged victorious. Now both Rama and Hanuman were present on the chariot of Arjuna to help him. Lord Krishna is Rama himself, and wherever Lord Rama is, his eternal servitor Hanuman and his eternal consort Sita, the goddess of fortune, are present. Therefore, Arjuna had no cause to fear any enemies whatsoever. And above all, the Lord of the senses, Lord Krishna, was personally present to give him direction. Thus, all good counsel was available to Arjuna in the matter of executing the battle. In such auspicious conditions, arranged by the Lord for his eternal devotee, lay the signs of assured victory. Arjuna Vacha Sena Yorva Yoramadye Yuritam Stapayame Chuta Yavad Etan Riksheham Yodun Kamanavastitan Karamaya Saha Yodav Yam Asmin Ravna Samudyame. Arjuna said, O infallible one, please draw my chariot between the two armies so that I may see those present here desire to fight, and with whom I must contend in this great trial of arms. Prabhu, although Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of his causeless mercy, he was engaged in the service of his friend. He never fails in his affection for his devotees. Thus, he is addressed here as infallible. As charioteer, he had to carry out the orders of Arjuna, and since he did not hesitate to do so, his address is infallible. Although he accepted the position of a charioteer for his devotee, his supreme position was not challenged. In all circumstances, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishikesha, the Lord of the total senses. The relation between the Lord and his servitor is very sweet and transcendental. The servitor is always ready to render service to the Lord, and similarly, the Lord is always seeking an opportunity to render some service to the devotee. He takes greater pleasure in his pure devotees assuming the advantageous position of ordering him than he does in being the giver of orders. Since he is the master, everyone is under his orders, and no one is above him to order him. But when he finds that a pure devotee is ordering him, he obtains transcendental pleasure, although he is infallible master in all circumstances. As a pure devotee of the Lord, Arjuna had no desire to fight with his cousins and brothers, but he was forced to come onto the battlefield by the obstinacy of Duryodhana, who was never agreeable to any peaceful negotiation. Therefore, he was very anxious to see who the leading persons present on the battlefield were. Although there was no question of peacemaking endeavor on the battlefield, he wanted to see them again and see how much they were bent upon demanding an unwanted war. So we're just getting started here. From the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita to the end, everything is arranged for Arjuna's victory and the Pandavas' victory. Dhritarashtra asked at the very beginning, Sanjaya Vacha, Dhritarashtra Vacha, Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre, Samaveda Yutsavaha, Mamaikam Pandavashaiva, Kimakorvata Sanjaya. Dhritarashtra said, what did my sons and the sons of Pandu do, assembled on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, desiring to fight? And as we were told, Dhritarashtra was concerned that his sons would be victorious. After all, they were fighting at a Dharma Kshetra, a holy place, and Dhritarashtra was concerned that the holy place might influence the mentality of the people involved, namely his sons, and that maybe his sons would, because of the influence of the holy place, they may make some compromise. But actually, people of a demoniac mentality, they can't be influenced by any kind of compromise with the devotees. For instance, we hear that sometimes the householders say that maybe we should send our children to the regular material schools. They can get trained up in materialistic life. And then later on, if they want, when they grow up, they can make a decision, a choice, and see if they want to become devotees. But we never find the demons, the asuras, are saying, let us send the children to Gurukul, get trained up as devotees, and later on in life let them make a choice and see if they want to become asuras like we are. No, from the very beginning of life, Komara Acharat Pragyo, Dharman Bhagavatan Iha, Durlava Manusha Janma, Tarapyavadu Arthadam. From the very beginning of life, Paladmara suggests that children should be given the best possible spiritual atmosphere, because that will influence them throughout their whole life. Even if later on they become badly influenced, still they'll be that beginning of life will always have some effect on them. Similarly, a holy place like Dharma Kshetra, like Kurukshetra, He was afraid they were going to influence his sons, but his sons were not able to be influenced. They were too covered over. If one doesn't want to become Krishna conscious, then Krishna doesn't force anyone to become Krishna conscious. There's no amount of good association that will make one Krishna conscious. Just like there are many personalities who had direct association with Krishna, but it didn't affect their mentality. Krishna personally entered into the body of Agasura, talking about taking prasadam, to personally eat the Supreme Personality of God. The source of all prasadam is quite auspicious. And of course he got liberation, but he didn't even get the same liberation as someone like Putana got, because his mentality didn't allow it. So the mentality in which we enter something into, just like we find that Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, a little while ago, they were bathing the Ganges, but they weren't becoming purified by bathing in the Ganges. They were becoming putrefied. Because their mentality was wrong. So if one goes to a holy place and has an unholy attitude, then one will not become purified. It is said that Kamsa, he heard that Srimati Radharani was very beautiful and he wanted to kidnap her. So he came to Vrindavan in order to kidnap her. But the gopis made a plan and they bathed him in a lake, I believe. He became a gopi. He became a woman. So that was quite embarrassing for Kamsa. Kamsi. And he begged that he could become a man again. And they agreed. I don't remember. Do you know the whole story? They agreed. They put him back into the lake and he became a man again. He made sure he never came back to Vrindavan. So he came to the most sacred place. Krishna was personally appearing there. Like the Yajna Brahmins, they had a chance to personally feed Krishna, but they refused to do so. They could have went out with their wives and personally met Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his brother and the cowherd boys, but they didn't do so because they were influenced by Kamsa. And they were living in Vrindavan, or at least in the outskirts of Vrindavan. Therefore, one can only take advantage of good association if one has good consciousness. That the iron may be attractive, the iron may attract iron fillings, but the fillings are all rusty, then the fillings won't be attracted by the iron. Therefore, in order to take up Krishna consciousness, yesham andikatam bhavam janana punya karmana, there has to be some pious activities in the past. It's like unmukhi bhakti sukriti, some kind of agyata sukriti, some kind of knowingly or unknowingly pious activity that purifies one enough to become attracted and influenced. But if one's activities are all sinful, then, of course, it's very hard to become attracted to anything that had to do with Krishna consciousness. Similarly, our lack of ability to appreciate the good fortune we have living in a holy place is also due to the fact that we're covered by the illusory energy. And therefore, even we're in the spiritual world, we may not realize it. Even Durvasa Muni went to the spiritual sky, the spiritual world, to see Vishnu, to protect him. But he didn't realize it. If you go there, then he probably could have stayed. Of course, he probably would have gotten burned by the fire, by the Sudarshan Chakra. But anyhow, he was just trying to escape. So sometimes one receives an opportunity, but one does not take advantage of it. So the Dhritarashtra and his sons, Duryodhana, they had a great opportunity. Krishna was personally present on the battlefield. As a matter of fact, Duryodhana was a cousin, practically speaking, of Krishna. He could have gotten Krishna's association, surrendered to Krishna, but he didn't, because he was impious, he didn't understand the value of doing so. Instead, he took Krishna's army, thinking that that was more important than taking Krishna himself. On the other hand, those who were seemingly less powerful, less opulent, whatever, if they have Krishna, then they're said to be having everything. Yatra yogeshvara Krishna, yatra partha dunora dura, tatra shira vijayo, bhutir druva mitya matirma. Dhruva Niti Matira Mama. So Krishna is the source of everything. So if you have Krishna, you have all opulence, you all have all victory, you have all morality, you have all opulence. And if one doesn't have Krishna, it's all just superficial. And that's what the whole Bhagavad Gita is about. That if we get Krishna, then our life is successful. And if we don't get Krishna, although apparently we may be very successful from less intelligent people's point of view, but actually we'll be defeated by the material nature. Mrityu sarva harastraham. Whatever we gained, it'll all be taken away. Whatever we think was ours, will be realized it's not ours, and we have to leave everything, including our body. So everyone is always being defeated, life after life. After all, even if you gain the whole universe, you'll live Brahma in some universe, but if the next life, you have to take another body in perhaps another species of life, then what have you gained being Brahma? As a matter of fact, if you're Brahman and then you realize, then you come back as a dog, how embarrassing. As we heard this, we were told that Indra, one time, he was cursed to become a pig. And when he became a pig, he had his own pigsty where he lived with his pig wife and pig children. And he was enjoying himself. After all, the food was free. The rent didn't exist. He didn't have to pay rent. The family was all happy and well fed. He didn't have to worry about clothing. They were all nudists. And didn't have to pay for education. Didn't have to pay for a vacation. Didn't have to worry about being unemployed. Everything was perfect. So one time, Brahma came and asked Indra, who now was a pig, if he could go back to the heavenly planets, because there was need of an administrator there. But Indra said, no, no way. This is the life. This is perfect food. No one here has to go on a diet. You can eat as much as you want. You don't have to worry about getting fat. Because my whole family is fat, but no one complains. You can sleep as long as you want. We have free love. And no one gets near us, so we don't have to worry about defending ourselves. So Brahma said, well, you know, this is not very good. So he got his wife, the pig wife of Indra, cut off her head, cut off the head of his children. And then Brahma said, you're next. And Indra said, well, maybe I should go back to the heavenly kingdom. So even whatever abominable species we find ourselves in, whatever situation, we actually get used to it and find it comfortable and become attached to it. And therefore, everyone is walking around thinking that, or rarely the people actually think themselves unfortunate or unhappy. And even if they do think like that, sometimes they think they're the most unfortunate, so they're special. They're the most insignificant. They're the most something. They take pleasure in being the most of something. They compete with their friends. Who's the most insignificant? Who's suffering the most? When you get older, you get so many operations, and then you compete with your friends. I just had my appendix out. I just had my heart out. I just had my liver and stomach out. And one is proud of how much one is suffering. One gets attached to it. So you can become attached to everything. To become attached to spiritual life, that's not so easy. Because one can give up anything in the material world, but to give up the false ego, that's the most difficult thing. To give up the ego that I'm something other than something special, I'm more special than anyone else, that's very difficult. In the spiritual world, everyone thinks everyone else is more special than they are, including Krishna. Thinks that he's the most insignificant. Krishna doesn't think he's very significant. He thinks his devotees are more significant than he is. So even the Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't have a big ego. But in the material world, where everyone is insignificant, the only thing big about anyone is their ego. And everyone is quite attached to that big ego and won't give it up for anything. Therefore, when we go to a holy place or we get an opportunity to associate with spiritual people, they don't take advantage of it because they're too proud. They think that they're enjoying, they're on top of the world. And if you tell them that your body is only temporary, they become very disturbed because you're disturbing. The one thing they have is illusion. The one thing to be had proud of is whatever illusions they have. And if you take the illusion away, they have nothing. They think they have nothing. So that's the product of illusion. You become so attached to illusion that you won't give it up. Even for reality. Therefore, especially in Kali Yuga, where people are attached to illusion, it's very easy to manipulate them. Just tell people, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, you're free, you're the greatest. Then people will say, well, yes, this person is very intelligent. He must be telling the truth. Because he told me I'm the greatest. And if someone comes along and says you're actually insignificant, you're living in a temporary world full of suffering, people think that this person's disturbing me. As I said before, during the Mardi Gras, you heard the Mardi Gras? In America they have this Mardi Gras. It's a big festival and everyone gets drunk and takes intoxicants for 1 week. They have a marathon of seeing how many sinful activities they can perform in 1 week. They kill animals on the street and have barbecues, and practically they have illicit sex on the street, and they take intoxication. There's bands playing. You can't even hear yourself think. It goes on for 1 week, so the devotees took a Harinam party out. They got out of the band and started to chant Hare Krishna. Immediately the police came and arrested them all and put them in jail and charged them for with disturbing the peace. So this is called illusion. That you're disturbing our sinful activities, trying to give us godly, trying to create a godly atmosphere and spoil everything. Immediately arrest you and put you in jail. So you don't disturb the ignorance and the passion we're creating here. So we can't expect that even people come to the temple or we have Harinam in the street, that everyone will become attracted. Sometimes we find when Harinam, when people see the devotees, immediately they run quicker to get out of the range of the Hare Krishna mantra. They're afraid they might get polluted by it. And if you're distributing a book and you give it to a book to some people, they become very disturbed that they were holding a book, especially if they think it was a scripture. They think they've become contaminated by touching the book. Did you ever have that experience? Is this the Hare Krishna? If they find out it's the Hare Krishna, they become very disturbed.
She read Krishna. She's like, wait, is this Hare Krishna? And she's like, I don't want to take it back. Because they're afraid. Maybe
subconsciously or something. Their relatives have all become dogs and waiting to join them. They're afraid if they take some prasadam or something, they might get a human form of life and miss the opportunity to become a dog in their next lifetime. Join their other family. Or as you've heard that story before, one priest was preaching to one man, or he said, if you keep on drinking, you're going to go to hell. So the man said, well, my parents both drink. Well, they're going to go to hell too. My brothers and sisters, they drink. Well, they're all going to go to hell. All my friends, they drink. Well, they'll go to hell too. So the man's conclusion was, well, if all my friends and my brothers and sisters and my parents and all my relatives are in hell, then hell is heaven. We'll all be together there. So that's what they think, is that if all my friends are demons and devil worshippers, then if I'm with them, I'm doing all right. Under the spell of ignorance and passion, one can't really discriminate between what's good and what's not good. As a matter of fact, Krishna says, pravitim cha, nivritim cha. No. Adharmam dharma itiya, manyate tamasavritaha, sarvatam viparitam cha, buddhisaparta tamasi. You know that verse? Do you know where it is? Chapter 18. It's around
18:32.
They think what is irreligion, what is irreligion they say to be religion, and therefore they always strive in the wrong direction. Could you imagine there was Ramachandra Khan who tried to defame Haridas Thakur? He came when Lord Nityananda and his party came to his house in the Durga Mandapa, the outside part of his house. Ramachandra Khan was so envious of Lord Nityananda, he told him he should leave, go to a milkman's house. And so Lord Nityananda left with his party. Ramachandra Khan was so envious that Lord Nityananda had contaminated the place. He had his servants dig up all the earth in that place where Lord Nityananda was and throw the dirt outside. It's called viparitam. He had exactly the wrong attitude, the opposite of what he should have had. And the result is that because he was doing illegal things, therefore the Muslim who was supposed to be collecting taxes from him, supposed to be getting his share of taxes, came and arrested Ramachandra Khan's family and killed a cow on the spot where Lord Nityananda was, but whose the dirt was thrown out, killed a cow on the spot and cooked the cow for 3 days, arrested Ramachandra Khan and his family and destroyed the village in which he was living. So he thought that what his idea of what was good and what was not good, what was wrong, and therefore him and his everyone who was associated with got destroyed. Therefore, we should try to understand our good fortune and try and make as many other people fortunate. And if they're not, then the material nature will show them that they're striving in the wrong direction. And eventually, maybe sometime in the future, they may take advantage of good association. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
When you mentioned that one has Krishna, his protector and so on, what is he meant by that? Who is that? Some level on which is who has Krishna, or who can claim that he has Krishna in that statement that is mentioned? You know?
Well, Krishna says, "Ye yatamam pravajante tam siddhamu bhajamya." All of them, as they surrender to me, I record them accordingly. So the highest activity is to do something to please Krishna, pure devotional service, and one gets the highest reward. Namely, one can always remember Krishna and never forget him. One is always in contact with the reservoir of pleasure. So one is always experiencing varieties of transcendental love and affection and pleasure. So that's the highest protection. Anything other than that is lower happiness, lower consciousness, lower protection. But anything done in Krishna's service or for Krishna, or even following Krishna's directions, brings one to a higher level of bliss, knowledge, eternality, which is really protection, protecting our consciousness. There's nothing really else that can be protected, because this body, like we have this body right now, and just disappeared, the whole thing, it's a completely different body. There's nothing to protect in the material world, because it's always changing. The only thing really worthy of protection is our consciousness. So that depends upon how much we accept the path of Krishna consciousness, either through following the Vedas or following the bhakti path. And to that degree, we become aware of Krishna, and that's our real protection, protection against illusion, lust, anger, and greed. Therefore, Krishna says, Trividam narakasyedam dwaram nashidam atmanaha kama krodha tatalo vas tasmat etam trayam chajet. There are three gates leading to this hell, namely lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should become free from these three gates because they lead to the degradation of the self. Or as Krishna says, udharatmanatmanam atmanam avasarayat admaiva yatma bandura atmaiva ripur atmana atmatmanatmanas chayva atmatmanas sushatruve A man must elevate himself by his own mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. For one has conquered his mind, the super souls are reached. For he has attained tranquility. To such a person, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor, all the same. So that's protection. Protection from lust, anger, greed, and remaining in Krishna consciousness, so that one is always blissfully engaged in a relationship with Krishna. That's real protection. And as soon as we lose that, we're unprotected. We're under the influence of the illusory energy, which is our greatest problem. Anything else? Kala Granthraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.